today on a classic Compassion Radio.
The idea that breaking women because they're women, because they're the heart and soul of a village, the heart and soul of a house, the heart and soul of churches. They are the peacemakers, sometimes the peacekeepers. Breaking them would win the war. I think that was when I got mad, right? To be honest,
yeah.
Was when I said, this is no longer just something that's happening in the world. This is systematic. This is a strategy. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On the program today, we're going to speak with Belinda Bauman. She's a wife, a mom, speaker and writer, and a teacher and advocate whose mission is to bring hope to women in crisis. Now today, Belinda and Bram's wife, Sandy, are going to talk about Belinda's vision of a world where women are free from the fear of violence, oppression, and poverty caused by war. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us for part one of this conversation.
Today, I have the beautiful, sweet privilege and honor of sitting with my friend, Belinda, whom I had the great honor of traveling with last spring into Lebanon. Most of our listeners know about that trip. We're praying for us and supporting us, and I want to welcome Belinda Bauman to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Sandy.
I'm so, so glad to be. It's wonderful to be face-to-face with you and not doing this on the phone.
I love that I get to see your face. I do. It sets me at ease because I know I'm talking to a friend. Mm. And B, it gives me great confidence because I know the depth of your heart for ministry to sisters. Mm. Because I saw it firsthand.
I want to talk to you about 1 Million Thumbprints. That is the ministry that we traveled with, mm-hmm. in partnership with a lot of other things going on. But the main thing was the main thing of 1 Million Thumbprints. I love the whole story, and I've heard it multiple times, and I just think it is brilliant and beautiful. But I want it from your lips. First of all, I want to say that when we first met, you didn't think very highly of me at the time.
That is so unfair.
Yeah. But God did a good work in both of us,
he
I think,
did.
And brought a new perspective to you and to me. And I'm grateful for that because I love calling you my friend. And I heard your story of Esperance back in February when we were at a mm-hmm. conference here in Grand Rapids. I want you to tell this story.
That's my favorite story. I'd be happy to. So I would be lying if I was to say that when I met Esperance, it was my first rodeo. A lot of times I imagine a headline, white woman, middle-class suburb, shocked into ministry because she encounters war refugee. Mm. But that wasn't my story. My story looked a lot more like I had been doing ministry with my husband and my children for almost, 18 years in conflict zones mm-hmm. like Northern Ireland back when it was very hot, and in the more difficult areas of Turkey, in Serbia during the Balkan crisis, mm-hmm. places like Ghana and Cotonou, Benin, and places where it wasn't easy to live. But I think the saddest part of that non-headline is that even though I had exposure to living in areas like that, and even though the love of God was in my heart for the people I was ministering to, I think I had grown into a very high-functioning apathy mm. that could masquerade very easily as compassion. Mm. It took a woman named Hope to remind me of my brave soul. Mm. Esperance is hope in French.
Right.
I first met Esperance on kind of a vision trip with World Relief to the war-torn region of Rutshuru in the Democratic Republic of Congo about 8 years ago. I had lived in Rwanda with my family just a border over, but in my sleep, should we call it, I paid attention to my immediate surroundings and did not pay attention to the very conflict that I cared so much about in Rwanda had crossed a border into Congo. Mm-hmm. Congo was just a dangerous place to me. When I finally made it there, I remember very clearly sitting in a cinder block church, Esperance, sitting with a group of 14 other women, and she told us her story. And it was almost like she was unfolding the corners of a gift to us. She was slow and methodical. She had carefully thought about what she wanted to say. She told the women that I had traveled with that she had fled her village because of rebel incursions that had been happening. In the fleeing, she had almost lost her children a number of times. She described what it was like to keep a hungry baby quiet in the bushes, how every sniff and every cough and every movement sent her blood pressure racing.
Well, it could be certain death for them.
It was almost certainly certain death, except for what she calls the grace of God, right? She made it to the area of Rutshuru with her husband and her children, and they joined kind of an informal makeshift refugee camp at the time. One of the only ways to put food on the table, other than the meager rations that the UN was able to provide, one of the only ways they could put an appropriate amount of calories in the bellies of their children was to go into the Virunga forest and scour for firewood. She and her husband knew that it was work that was very dangerous because rebel groups patrolled that area frequently. The day that they went in, it was just out of desperation. They went together, thinking it would be safer. They heard the rebel soldiers approach before they saw them because they heard the clink of metal on metal. When the soldiers shot her husband, Esperance threw her hands over her head, which is a universal sign of surrender. She wanted more than anything for one of them to survive for the sake of her kids.
Sure.
She was stripped, brutalized, and raped repeatedly for 3 hours. She was left for dead. And she would say that she would have died had it not been for the love and care of sisters from a local church that had been sent out by pastors to scour the forest for women just like Esperance.
Wow.
Mama Odile was a local trauma counselor. Mama Odile and several other women found Esperance. They clothed her immediately. They fed her. It was important for her to remember she was in a body right away. So eating and drinking was important for her to do immediately. They eventually stayed with her for the full month of clinical rape treatment that she needed care for. And they didn't leave her side for the full 9 months that it took to bring her son to birth, who is thriving and going to school and learning to read, unlike Esperance was able to. When Esperance told her story, she said that she was not whole and that she could not be made whole, in reference to the fact that she was also a fistula patient and that she leaked feces and urine constantly due to the violence of the rape she experienced. I look back now and I don't think I inhaled the entire time she was talking because it was so other to me. Even though I lived in a post-genocide nation, Rwanda was very, very quiet about speaking about the gender-based violence that happened during the genocide. In any of the conflict zones, it was a very private matter. So to hear the story of gender-based violence from a woman so honestly, I was undone. But I didn't know what was coming. I was writing an article for, I believe it was the Daily Beast at that time, about our experience in the Democratic Republic of Congo for Mother's Day. And when I asked for Esperance's permission to tell her story, we were very careful about this was her story to be told, not mine. And I wanted her to feel honored in the telling. And I wanted to be accurate in the telling. So she sat with her pastor for a good long time, talking about what it meant to have her story told, what her story was, and would she want her story told.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Hi, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build kingdom around the world. This year, we had the great privilege of celebrating our 78th anniversary in broadcast ministry. It's hard to believe that we've been on the air for almost 80 years. And in that time, of course, we've seen tremendous changes in the world. For most of that time, 74 years in fact, this ministry was in the steady hands of two solid men of God. Both amazing Bible teachers, visionaries, and committed to seeing a redemptive worldview truly transform the world. Both Wilbur and Norm Nelson stretched their faith and the faith of their listening partners by urging them to not just listen, but to act on their faith. They inspired people just like you to take seriously God's call to build His kingdom around the world and to do it in ways proven to make a lasting difference. When no one else would go after the Korean War, Wilbur and Norm built orphanages and schools in Korea and Hong Kong, making it possible for generations of kids to experience the true gospel and, over time, transform their countries. Later, Norm and Cher set off on some great adventures to see how far the gospel could really go, bringing Bibles to the underground church in China and Vietnam. They brought food and medical supplies into North Korea during one of their worst famines. They brought Christmas to school children in Afghanistan after the first Taliban defeat. They visited refugee camps in dozens of countries and helped supply the amazing Christians, keeping bodies and hope alive. And in the process, living out the true religion that James talks about in his epistle. Friends, today we remain true to that vision, even at a time when COVID has shut down so many avenues we would normally use to gather stories and supply our kingdom family. We are prayerfully pursuing new opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It means some amazing new partnerships and projects, which we're working on right now. In the months to come, we'll tell you all about the new chapter that God's opening for us, and I very much look forward to sharing it. In the meantime, I'm going to ask you to earnestly and prayerfully consider what you can do right now to keep Compassion Radio viable and equipped to seize these new opportunities and to face the new challenges they present. So many ministries right now are holding back, waiting to see what the world will do, how the economy will respond, and how God will move. Though I understand the reasoning, I simply cannot believe that God would have us sit back and wait out the storm before acting in faith. Our God is a God in the storm, and the world needs us now. As Compassion Radio, we're building out the plan as fast as we prudently can, and we're trusting that God will provide for the operational needs of this ministry through you as we do it. As Wilbur Nelson put it decades ago, when there's a need, seek God and tell His people. We're doing both. If you've never supported this ministry before, I'm asking you to do what you can today to make sure that we can get through 2021 with you and on to the kingdom things He has for us in the days to come. If you have supported us in the past, please hear me when I say you are deeply appreciated and honored in our prayers each and every day. Thank you for what you have done and what you will do to keep Compassion Radio on the air and in the arena. Please, don't hesitate to give us a call or drop us a line today. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478. Our website is also available 24/7 to make your gift online. It's also the best way to catch up on any episodes you've missed. You can even share programs with your friends and family. To send your gift by mail, you can use the following address: Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you for your partnership with Compassion Radio. We look forward to hearing from you today.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
draws near and my time has come. Still my soul.
And now back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
The rebel soldiers approached before they saw them because they heard the clink of metal on metal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When the soldiers shot her husband, Esperance threw her hands over her head, which is a universal sign of surrender. She wanted more than anything for one of them to survive mm-hmm. for the sake of her kids.
Sure.
She was stripped, brutalized, and raped repeatedly for 3 hours. She was left for dead. And she would say that she would have died had it not been for the love and care of sisters from a local church that had been sent out by pastors to scour the forest for women just like Esperance.
Wow.
Mama Odile was a local trauma counselor. Mama Odile and several other women found Esperance. They clothed her immediately. Mm-hmm. They fed her. It was important for her to remember she was in a body right away. So eating and drinking was important for her to do mm-hmm. immediately. They eventually stayed with her for the full month of clinical rape treatment that she needed care for. Mm. And they didn't leave her side for the full 9 months that it took to bring her son to birth, who is thriving and going to school and learning to read, unlike Esperance was able to. Mm. When Esperance told her story, she said that she was not whole and that she could not be made whole, in reference to the fact that she was also a fistula patient mm-hmm. and that she leaked feces and urine constantly due to the violence of the rape she experienced. I look back now, and I don't think I inhaled the entire time she was talking
right.
because it was so other to me. Even mm-hmm. though I lived in a post-genocide nation, Rwanda was very, very quiet about speaking about the gender-based violence that happened during the genocide. Mm-hmm. In any of the conflict zones, it was a very private matter. So to hear the story of gender-based violence from a woman so honestly, I was undone. But I didn't know what was coming. I was writing an article for, I believe it was the Daily Beast at that time, about our experience in the Democratic Republic of Congo for Mother's Day. And when I asked for Esperance's permission to tell her story, we were very careful about this was her story to be told, not mine. And I wanted her to feel honored in the telling. And I wanted to be accurate in the telling. So she sat with her pastor for a good long time, talking about what it meant to have her story told, what her story was, and would she want her story told. It took a couple of weeks, actually, and we were waiting for the permission to come. And when it did, it arrived via email. And when I opened it, all I saw was a thumbprint. And right above it, written in print, was, "Tell the world my story."
That still chokes me up when you say that.
Sometimes I simplify the story, but the reality was the permission, the form was on the other side. Mm. She was not having any of it. She was, "I have asked you to tell my story." And so she had him flip it, and she gave her mandate in the form of a thumbprint. For me, and maybe for your listeners, sometimes things come to you and you think, "I have a choice. Here's an option. It's a good thing I could get involved in." The way that thumbprint came to me, it was no longer optional. It was now a mandate.
It was a very personal way.
Very personal.
To give you permission.
Yes.
It wasn't just some form that popped up in your email.
Nope.
This was her personal identification. Yes.
How much more personal do you get mm-hmm. than a thumbprint?
Right.
Our single most accurate biometric identifier. Mm-hmm. And for her, giving her thumbprint also meant that was how she got food from whatever resources the UN were providing, mm-hmm. or that was how she identified herself as a war refugee. It was everything she was given to me with a mandate to tell her story. So that was really how 1 Million Thumbprints was born. It started with one thumbprint. What do you do when you have a mandate, right?
Right.
You call the people that you know are passionate mm-hmm. and brilliant and gutsy and a little crazy, like Sandy Floria. And you gather them to do, I think we referred to it as light our hair on fire at the time, right?
To say. It feels like that.
It does. To say there are women that exist in this world right now whose stories aren't being heard. Mm-hmm. They are women who live in war. And it is a systematic strategy for their bodies to be broken to win.
Since you said that, I'm going to bring this up. I want you to tell our listeners what you said about the general or someone in the military that made a statement that was profoundly impactful to you.
Yeah. While we were in Rwanda, my family had the honor of having a pastor named Cyprian. We worked with him, but we also worshiped with him. And Cyprian had survived the genocide. He had spent time in Congo. He knew the conflict from a very intimate perspective, both in Rwanda and Congo. After my visit in Congo, I spent time with Cyprian, and I remember asking him, why hurt the women? Mm. And Cyprian said, I remember asking a militia commander, he was a general, the same question. And he answered very forthwithly to Cyprian. He said, it is my goal to win the country. And if I'm going to win the country, then I need to break the country. If I break the country, I need to break the village. And in order to break the village, I need to break the women. The idea that breaking women because they're women, because they're the heart mm-hmm. and soul of a village, the heart and soul of a house, the heart and soul of churches. They are the peacemakers, sometimes the peacekeepers. Mm-hmm. Breaking them would win the war. I think that was when I got mad, right. to be honest,
yeah.
was when I said, this is no longer just something that's happening in the world. This is systematic. This is a strategy. Mm-hmm. And if I was to answer honestly, I would say it's a principality and a power.
Absolutely.
That we've been called to fight.
Right.
So how do we fight it? And I would suggest we fight it one thumbprint at a time.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up today's
okay.
program.
Great.
And we're going to come back to this because I think there is so much more for us to talk about. We're going to come back tomorrow on Compassion Radio. Thank you, Belinda, for this time.
Pleasure.
And we look forward to spending more time with you tomorrow.
Oh, amen.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.